If you've experienced a DNA surprise, you know that your emotions can range from shock to denial to grief to anger to confusion to joy and around again. And sometimes it's hard to find people who understand this unique experience. Sometimes we feel a little stuck as we navigate this journey. That's why we created the DNA Surprise Retreat. At the DNA Surprise Retreat, you'll enjoy 6 expert-led sessions to help you process your DNA surprise. You'll eat delicious catered meals, and most importantly, you'll build beautiful friendships with people who understand you, all in a stunning private ranch facility in the Arizona desert. If you've had shocking DNA test results, know that you're not alone. This retreat is for you. Join us September 19th through the 22nd, 2024 in Phoenix, Arizona. Registration is open now. Reserve your space at dnasurpriseretreat.com. I'll see you there.
You know, through the years, this 38-year time frame between when she told me and when somebody else found out about it, my half-brother, I didn't think about it every day. You know, I could go months and months and months without ever thinking about it. Like, I didn't have to dwell on it. And once in a while, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I have this weird situation I have to think about. Or, you know, I wonder if my brother is in this room with me or my dad is in this room with me, like it at high school in some event or something. Could they have been in the same room with me and I didn't know it? You know, I mean, that could have happened and I was unaware, but I didn't think about it every day. You know, I can spend a long periods of time without having to think about that. And then I think, you know, it's cyclical. Sometimes you just get into that zone where you're totally focused on it. Like, oh my God, I should do something about this. You know, maybe I should go knock the one brother I knew he lived, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours from me. And I was thinking, I Googled him and I saw his address. I could go knock on his door and say, hey, guess who? But I just never thought it would turn out well. So most of the time I just repressed any feelings I had or any thoughts I had and just assumed that nothing would ever happen.
Imagine spitting into a tube, sending off your DNA, and unknowingly turning your life upside down. For me and thousands of others, this is our reality. I'm your host, Alexis Auerselt. In July of 2021, I discovered that I am an NPE, someone who has experienced a non-paternal event. In other words, my biological father isn't who I thought he was. This podcast shares the journeys of people who were shocked by a DNA discovery, mostly through modern DNA testing. We're telling the stories of NPEs, adoptees, and donor-conceived people and their families. This is DNA Surprises. Summer was 13 years old when her mother told her that she was an NPE, but it wasn't until decades later, after both her biological parents had passed, that she was able to connect with her half-siblings. In this week's episode, Summer explains how that journey is going, as well as compassion and empathy for her mother. Thanks for sharing your story, Summer.
My name's Summer. I'm 54 and I'm from Central New York. I took a DNA test because I bought one for my best friend who's Black and she didn't know any of her ethnic history. And they were having a sale. So I bought one for her and I bought one for me and we did it together. But I only did it to determine my ethnicity. I know my grandfather had said we were Native American, and I had this laundry list of other ethnicities that I thought I was. And so I kind of wanted to just see that written down, get proof of what I really was. What I didn't intend really was to find any long lost relatives, I guess. But I knew that the father that I grew up with was not my biological father because my mother had told me when I was 13. And what happened to her was she became pregnant when she was a teenager and got married to someone she was casually dating. And that person still thinks he's my father. My mother told me when I was 13 that he was not my father. And they had been divorced already for years before then. And she told me that her boss was my father, but he was married with other children. And the reason she told me that was because we lived in the same town that he did with his family. And he had sons who were a little older than me. And she was worried I might meet them in school and date one of them. And it would actually be my brother.
Okay.
So she came clean when I was 13. And it was pretty shocking to me.
Yeah. How did you react?
You know, I was surprised. And I guess I asked her some questions, but I didn't. I think when you're 13, you try to fit in with everybody. And so I didn't really talk about it with my friends. I probably didn't talk to her about it that much. Like, I got the basic information and that was it. And then when I was in high school, one of my real dad, my biological father's children, was in a class with me. And I knew who she was, but she didn't know who I was. And so I tried to get to know her, but she was really quiet. So we didn't really have a friendship or anything. Around that same time, it had to be that same year, I went to a football game with my mother and a friend. And my mother looked up in the stands and said, "Do you see that man over there?" And I said, "Yeah." And she said, "That's your dad." And his son had been playing football. And so he was at the football game to watch his son play. And that was the only time I saw him that I was aware of. She told me that he knew about me when she was pregnant. And so he did come to the hospital to see me when I was born. He was aware that I was his child. But since he was married, there wasn't much he could do about it, I guess. You know, he stayed with his wife and his kids. And so I saw him that day in the stands.
Did he see you?
I have no idea. I don't know. I would guess that if he saw my mother, he would have recognized her. So maybe, but I just have no idea. And then through the years, once Facebook emerged, some of my friends from school were also friends with one of my half brothers. So I could kind of Facebook stalk him a little. And mm-hmm. see, you know, who he was, where he lived, just kind of catch up with, like, just, you know, seeing what was going on with his life. And I probably did that about twice a year. And one time when I was looking through his Facebook page, I saw another brother who had written a book. And there was a little bit of press about it that he was something in the local library mm-hmm. and a reading, I guess. And so I Googled him because I really didn't know how many kids there were. So I Googled him, and then I saw something about him and his book. And then I saw the name of another brother. And then I saw the obituary of another brother. And when I looked at the obituary, this was in, I think it was 2016. I looked at the obituary and I saw written in there that he was predisposed, which was, I then was kind of grieving my father that I never met. And then I knew that I would never meet him. And then I also figured that I would probably never have a relationship with my siblings because that connection was gone. And I didn't see any way that I could ever, like, go up to someone and knock on their door. I assumed that some of them were still in our hometown, and I wasn't sure about that either. But I used to kind of imagine going and knocking on someone's door and saying, hey, I'm your sister. Let me tell you about this before you throw me out. I fantasized about that a bit, but it never really ended up well in my head. So I just figured that would never happen. And so then I did the DNA test, and a couple years later, someone showed up as my half brother. And it was another one of the brothers that I didn't really know existed. And he sent me a message through a 23andMe. And so I responded and I said, yeah, let's have a conversation at some point. And he said, I'm really busy. I can't do it right now. And I said, okay, you know, let me know when. And we kept messaging back and forth for one morning. And then he said, okay, this is not a good way to communicate. Here's my number, call me. And I had an important meeting that morning that was not in my office, so I couldn't call him until the afternoon. And I called him and I was super, super nervous. And so I just blurted everything out without taking a breath, that my mom worked with his dad and she got pregnant and she, you know, panicked and married this person she was casually dating that she knew it wasn't really his, that I wasn't his kid. And that she told me when I was 13, and I just really didn't think I would ever know them or have any relationship with them. And after I said all of this stuff, and then I stopped to take a breath and was really just panicked about what he was going to say, because I really expected him to say, you're full of crap. I don't know, you know, I mean, we had DNA evidence, so there wasn't really any way to refute that, but I wasn't expecting the only thing I wasn't expecting is what he said, which was, I have known about you since I was 15, but I didn't have any way to know who you were or where you were, but I knew that my dad had another child. And I was completely shocked. And he said that he and his siblings had already found another sister that was kind of similar to me, not exactly.
Okay.
And so he said that they welcomed this other woman into their family, and that his family would certainly welcome me into their family, and that we could proceed however I wanted to. If I wanted to meet everybody, great. If I didn't want to meet everybody, that was also fine. He said, whatever I wanted to do, we could do it. And I realized that I had been waiting for that to happen for 38 years. Between the time that I found out about it and by the time that he did his DNA test, it was 38 years of waiting. And when it happened, then I wasn't sure what I really wanted to do. Like, I wanted to be part of them, and I wanted to be welcomed by them. That was amazing. But I also was a little overwhelmed at the number of kids, siblings, half siblings that I had. They were scattered in many different states. They had kids of their own. And I was really overwhelmed about it.
How many did you end up having? How many half siblings do you have?
I have, let's see, 5 brothers and 2 sisters from that dad. My mother also had another child with my stepdad, so that I grew up with. So I knew about him, you know, I grew up with him. But then there were 5 other brothers, the one who died, and the remaining 4, and 2 sisters, one of whom they found after. And she had a slightly different situation than me.
Wow. So your mom told you when you were 13, kind of going back, did she tell you not to tell your birth certificate father? Or how did you come to a place where you decided that you would carry that secret with her?
You know, I don't remember if she told me not to tell, but my birth certificate father remarried and didn't have kids. And I have been really close to his mother, my grandmother, and his sister, my aunt, and they are family to me. You know, I've lived with them my whole life. I mean, visited them, spent time with them, and I don't want to hurt any of them. And I feel like it would be really hurtful to them to know that. So I don't know if, I really can't recall if she told me not to tell anybody, but maybe it was obvious to me that that probably wasn't something to be shared. And mm-hmm. she died, my mother died more than a dozen years ago. And so I know from the group that we're in that a lot of people have a lot of anger toward their mothers and feel just really lied to and betrayed. And I don't feel any of that. I never have. I think that she was probably really scared being pregnant as a 19-year-old and not married. And frankly, if I were her, I probably would have had an abortion because I wouldn't have wanted to be an unmarried 19-year-old. I mean, it's pretty amazing that she decided to have a baby. I was born right after she turned 20, and she worked really hard to take care of me and give me everything I needed. And so I don't have any anger or anything toward her. I feel a little disappointed, I guess, that I didn't ask her more questions, because as I started to meet some more of the family, my half siblings, they each had different parts of this story, because it seemed like some of them knew some stuff, some of them knew nothing at all, but they each had little tidbits. And now that I hear some of that, I'm thinking, wow, I wish I could have talked to my mother about that. But
yeah. So flash forward, you've connected with your half brother and he's saying, however you want to move forward, we can move forward. What did you ultimately decide you wanted to do?
Well, the day I talked to him, I think was a Monday, and I went home and, well, I told my husband, and I have a couple of kids. So I decided on Wednesday of that week that I needed to tell them the truth, because I never had. I didn't think there was ever going to be a reason to. And so I told them the truth, and they were mostly okay with it. I think they were a little surprised, but, you know, mostly okay, I'll say. Mm-hmm. And then when I had talked to the brother, the first brother on the first day, he had told me that one of his nieces, his other brother's daughter, was going to college in the same city that I currently live in. And it was early March. And so I woke up on the last day of that week, Friday, work week, and said, I thought, oh my gosh, maybe it's spring break and the other brother is coming to pick up his daughter and it would give me a chance to meet them. So I texted the first brother, and that first day I talked to him, by the way, he sent me pictures of the whole family, pictures of our dad, pictures of the brothers. He sent me a ton of pictures, like, so I would feel included right away. I mean, really just amazing. So I texted him and I said, hey, I see that the niece's spring break is this week. Is there any chance that the other brother, brother number two, is coming to pick her up? And he said, you know, I'll message him. And so I found out that he had already picked her up. She was already back at home. So I didn't have that opportunity. But that night, brother number two called. And I picked up the phone. It was an unknown number, of course. And he said, hey, little sis. Mm-hmm. And so we had a talk. And then he put his daughter on the phone, who was going to college in my city. And she said, her birthday was that week. And she said, this is the best birthday present ever. I have a new aunt.
Oh, how sweet.
It really was. It was awesome. They just really made me feel welcome and included, just from the beginning, which is just, it's really awesome. And so then I met them in person a month later. We had a dinner together. They all came to my city and we had dinner together. My family met them, and my brother has a son that's the same age as my son. So they kind of connected, and they're big sports guys. So they had that in common. So it was it was pretty cool. And then a few months after that, I got a call from another brother who happened to be passing through my city to go someplace for work and called and said, "Hey, I'm stranded at the airport. Do you want to come and pick me up?" And I said, "Okay." So then I met him, which was cool. Yeah. So the only one I haven't met actually is the one that I first talked to because he lives far, far away. Okay. And so I have not met him in person. I've met the other three brothers and two sisters. And one of them did a DNA test too. The sister who was in my high school math class, she also did a DNA test and came up as, you know, my half sister. So maybe she was a little skeptical about this whole thing. Like, I don't believe it. So she went and did it. And sure enough,
the first brother that you talked to, he knew about you from the time he was 15. Did your father tell him? And how did that come up? Has he shared sort of how he came to learn?
I don't remember which brother told me this story. I think it was actually the second brother told me that his dad told him that when my mom got pregnant or realized she was pregnant, my dad, my biological dad, went home to his wife and said, "Hey, I got my secretary pregnant. I am going to leave you and be with her." And his wife said, "Great. You take all these kids and go." And then he apparently went and told my mother that. And my mother said, "No, thanks. Like, I'm not going to raise your five kids," or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the sister that's like the same age as me, she's 4 months older than me. So probably his wife was pregnant at that same time. We're the same age.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm kind of shocked. I think my mother was sort of a person who tried to please other people. So I'm almost surprised that she said no to that. But that's one of the things I'd really like to ask her about. I mean, of course, it would be overwhelming to be 19 and take care of five kids that don't belong to you, right?
Right.
I'm surprised that she would have said no, I think. But I'm just really, I would love to ask her that question. I would love to find out what she was thinking or if that really happened. I mean, maybe that wasn't her recollection of the events, but that's what one of my brothers told me, which was really shocking to me and a little amusing. I mean, the whole thing sounds kind of amusing. So their mother, my half-sib's mother, has also invited me to do things with them. They just had a big 4th of July party and she invited me to come. And she said, she doesn't blame you. Like, she knows it's not your fault and you're part of the family and she'd like you to come. I did not because I had other plans. I felt a little guilty about it because I do think it's a little hard to build a relationship with these people. I am doing it slowly, but you know, I'm over 50, they're all over 50, some are over 60. And I feel like, you know, I have 50 years of history and so do they. Like, what do we just start from now and build ahead? Do we try to, you know, they tell me some stories about when they were growing up, things that happened. And, you know, then I feel a little like, well, you got to be with our dad then. And I didn't, you know, I don't, all of that is strange to me. And I think it's strange to build a relationship with them. Like, I'm not sure how to do that. And so, you know, we just do a little bit. We see each other occasionally and none of them live in the same city or state anyway that I do. So it's hard to build a relationship, but they're very, if I text any of them, they'll text me right back and they're, you know, way into being, you know, in communication with me or seeing me. And I just feel a little overwhelmed by it sometimes.
Well, that's a lot of siblings.
It is. And they're also really super open with me about everything. Like, one says, you know, I'm not the smartest person in the group. And I feel like when you're trying to meet somebody, often you put on your best, you know, face for everything. Like, maybe you want to act like you're the smartest person or, you know, whatever. And they're just like so open about everything. One of them is, you know, sometimes like depressed and sometimes worried that he worries about his dad was like a womanizer. Like, is he going to become a womanizer? Anything he does, he's really worried if he's following down the same path as our dad. Seems weird for me to say that. I don't feel that comfortable calling him my dad. I don't, you know him, but I mean, he is my dad.
Do you feel like you've been able to find some sort of connection to your biological father through your siblings?
I don't feel much of a connection, I guess. I just feel, and I also recently found out that my dad has a sister, and she recently found out about me. So she started texting me too.
Oh, wow.
And so that was weird. She didn't know about me. And so I now have a little bit of a relationship with her, not much. But I feel like, you know, it's interesting to hear stories about him. And I see that, you know, I resemble my brothers more than the sisters. And I appreciate their honesty and everything. But I feel like, I don't know, it's just hard to build a relationship with someone that you're supposed to be siblings with. And you're starting out a relationship when you're 50. You know, that's kind of, I feel like that's difficult to navigate. But they're so open to it. Like, I feel bad if I don't put a lot of effort into it. And sometimes I just can't. I feel like my life is pretty full. I have family and friends. And now I have this other group of people that want to be my family. And they are. But I feel like sometimes it's a little overwhelming. And I can't describe this very well because I would like to be close to them, but it takes effort. Sometimes I just don't feel like I have the energy to do that.
I completely understand what you're saying. It's, you know, for me, I'm 36 and my father is still alive, but it's weird to feel like, I feel like he'll never be my parent because I have parents and I didn't grow up with them, and I have siblings, but like you're saying, I didn't grow up with them. We didn't have shared experiences growing up that I feel like bond you to your siblings, and I hope that we'll be close and become closer, but will it ever be that familial feeling? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So you kind of touched on it. Like what would you like to see happen?
I don't know, because I feel pretty lucky that how this whole thing has happened was it really better than I could have expected. And they're very warm and welcoming and seem interested in me and my life and my kids and are accepting. I don't know. I mean, it's really, it couldn't be kind of, in a way, it couldn't be any better except for that, you know, I don't have the opportunity to meet my dad, and I don't know what that would have been like anyway. I'm glad that he knew about me, but it's kind of weird to not have that. I wish that I had more time to spend with them so that I could know them better. I don't feel like anything is like difficult with them because they're all just really open and just, you know, if I ask a question, they answer it. And they're very thoughtful answers and really introspective and really just honest. And it's refreshing. I appreciate that. And when I was growing up, I always wished I had an older brother. And now I have four of them, but they weren't there when I needed them, you know? Maybe some of those rough years, middle school, it would have been handy to have some brothers in high school. So I missed out on some of the good times that I probably benefited from having a big brother.
Yeah, one of the things I've heard from people that, you know, found out that they were NPEs at some point is that they spend some time thinking about what life might have been like if they'd been able to be involved in their biological father's life, if they'd been raised by their biological father. Is that something that you've ever thought about? Because you sound like you really have a lot of peace with the fact that your mom made her decision. You have a father, you know, a dad that raised you. Do you wonder about what it might have been like otherwise?
A little bit. I know that, you know, I grew up in a small family. They grew up in a large family. Like, what would that have been like? That would have been different. But I think my childhood was far from perfect. I guess I don't dwell too much on the what ifs there. This didn't really happen before I talked to my brothers, even though I had my DNA results, but I think this is probably somewhat common. I sort of felt like I was having an identity crisis because I was like, you know, who am I really? You know, I thought I was this person. And then I guess that got a little interrupted when I was 13 and I learned that I was maybe part of something else, but it really came, it seemed to become more obvious after I had a connection with the brothers to start with, because I think that, I mean, part of it is ethnicity. I mean, there, I found out I'm about 9% Ashkenazi Jew. I did not know that before. And it definitely comes from that side of the family. The rest of my DNA wasn't, or my, you know, ethnicity wasn't that surprising to me. It was essentially what my grandfather said, minus the Native American. But I sort of felt like, I don't know, I think I was having a little bit of an identity crisis after just having conversations with them. I know I feel probably a little bit left out because they can talk about history. I'm not with them as a group very much. If I would have gone to that 4th of July celebration, I would have been, but I've been kind of with them in smaller groups. But I have met two brothers and one of the sisters have been to my house, and they came from out of state, and I've been to a couple of their houses too. And we've met at other convenient places. So we've seen each other several times over the last, it's 3.5, 4 years. So we've had, multiple opportunities to get together.
One of the questions I was going to ask was about your biological father's wife and if she was still alive. So she is. And have you had a chance to speak with her yet?
No, I have not spoken with her, but she has made it clear that I'm welcome to visit her where she lives out of state, go to parties that she's hosting or, you know, family gatherings or reunions. She's totally fine with that. And that makes me, I mean, I think it's very gracious. It makes me a little uneasy, but I'm glad that, I mean, she's 80 or whatever. So, you know, she knows it wasn't my fault. I didn't choose this. But I mean, I would guess I would be a reminder of some of the bad things that her husband did while married to her. And that doesn't make me happy. Nobody wants to feel that way. But I think she's, you know, made peace with it. They divorced also. So later on, went probably about, I think when I was 16, I didn't know that at the time, of course, but they divorced when I was about 16. And I think she never got remarried. And he did get remarried to his high school sweetheart, who he couldn't marry when he was in college or high school, I guess, because they were different ethnicities and it was frowned upon back then.
Mm. Do you have any feelings toward your father based on, you know, that he was your mom's boss and kind of the dynamic of that? And was that ever a struggle for you?
Well, when I think about it, like logically, he was probably 8 years older than her. He was in a powerful position. I think with the Me Too stuff, you know, it could look bad, but I think that, but I don't feel like she was manipulated. I mean, I think that she probably wanted someone to love her, which I think was a theme throughout most of her life, sadly. And I'm not sure she ever felt like she achieved that. But I think that, you know, she felt that she had something with him and was willing to, I mean, when you get pregnant and have a kid, your whole life changes. She was willing to deal with the consequences of that and have a baby and, you know, raise it with somebody. I'm sure she had, you know, she had to make some difficult choices and maybe choose the lesser of the evils. And so she made a choice, and I don't want to, you know, undo her choice, I guess. I don't see, that's why I just don't see a reason to ever tell the truth about that, even though it sucks. I mean, it sucks. And it sucks too, because my kids now sort of have to keep that secret too, because they also know my birth certificate dad. They also know my aunt, and they love my aunt. And, you know, and I don't like having to make that request of them, but I don't see a way around it, I guess. I don't feel like it's, you know, how people say, I don't know, like the truth sets you free and all this stuff. Like, I don't feel like maybe it is a big ask for me to have my children keep my mother's secret, but I don't feel like there's a way around it, I guess.
Do you feel like you're keeping the secret for you, or do you feel like you're keeping it to spare your birth certificate father and family and his family from that potential pain?
I guess I haven't really thought about that, because when I think of it, I think it's for them, but I wonder, now that you ask that directly, if, because I've told my friends know the truth. I'm not like keeping it a secret, although I didn't tell most of my friends I didn't tell until I had contact with my brother, because it just didn't seem, it was like an unnecessary part of my history that it wasn't necessary to share, I guess. I think now that I'm only keeping the secret to protect my dad and our relationship with my aunt, who we just all really, I feel like my aunt could deal with the truth, but I don't know that there's a reason to tell her the truth. Like, if my dad weren't in the picture, I don't know if I would tell her. I don't feel like it would have any real benefit, I guess.
Yeah. The reason why I was asking is just because you do seem so okay with it. You really do seem like you're at peace with it. You're at peace with your mom's choice. And, you know, it doesn't seem to be a struggle for you personally in terms of like why she made that choice. And you still have a really great connection with your birth certificate father and that family that obviously still means a lot to you. So I was just curious, you know, kind of the intention behind it. And I think that I have talked to other people who are keeping it from their birth certificate father, and it's the same thing. You know, they want to spare them, basically.
Yeah. So he did get remarried, you know, after he and my mom divorced, and then his wife died. And then, you know, my grandmother died. And so he has no spouse. He has no mom. He has a sister. He doesn't get along with that well. And so I feel like it would be pretty devastating to him to lose me as a daughter. I mean, not that he would lose me, but, you know, to know that we weren't really related, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't want to do that to him. Yeah.
It's been a few years for you. Where do you feel like you're at with it now?
Well, I think I'm in a pretty good place. I feel like, you know, after my identity crisis, I think I can go down that path again, you know, and be concerned about that. But I think I'm choosing not to. It doesn't really benefit me in any way to feel like I don't have an identity. And I like, you know, I like my relationship with my new sibs. I guess I would like to see them more, but we're not near each other. I would like to have more of a relationship, but I feel like there's just not a lot of time for it. So it's not that they don't want that or I don't want it. It just, you know, it's prioritizing what we do with our time. And so, you know, if we're in the same place at the same time, we'll definitely hang out and we'll enjoy each other's company. But I think that we're probably none of us are making a ton of effort to do it. But I mean, it's weird now too with COVID. So, you know, people aren't making a lot of effort to see other people anyway. So if we didn't have a pandemic for the last year and a half, I don't know how things would change. I probably would have seen them more, but I feel pretty comfortable.
I think that you'll really have an interesting perspective on this just because of your situation. What would you tell a parent who maybe had a DNA surprise that they were hiding from their child. What advice would you give them?
I think, you know, it probably weighed very heavily on my mom for my whole life until she felt comfortable to tell me. So she probably like played through that conversation for years and years and years and tried to find the right time to tell me the truth. And she was probably relieved when she did. And I'm glad that she told me, because it seems like a lot of the people in the NPE group are really, really pissed at their moms. And it sounds like, I mean, a lot of the moms don't take responsibility for it or say that the DNA is lying or say, I mean, I'm sure some of them don't remember who made them pregnant. That is definitely true. But to continually just say that it didn't happen or that the DNA is wrong is, it's kind of ludicrous to me, I guess. But I know that, you know, not everybody can be honest for whatever reason. I mean, there are lots of reasons that people don't want to tell the truth. I feel lucky my mom told me, and I think that she probably felt lucky that I acted the way I did about it. Because I think when I first told my kids, one of them was a little angry, like I was, you know, keeping a secret from them. And I guess I don't remember feeling that, you know, when my mom told me, I don't remember feeling anger that, you know, she kept this from me. And I probably felt like kind of honored that she trusted me enough to tell me the truth, because especially when, you know, girls and their mothers often don't have a good relationship when girls are in their 20s, in their teens, you know, they get kind of, you know, like I could have at any time been like, you're a crazy bitch. I'm telling everybody about this terrible thing you did. And I didn't do that. Which I'm probably, I should be impressed with myself because I probably wasn't a very easy teenager either. So, but I never thought of doing that.
Well, I really admire the compassion that you show for your mom, you know, during that time. I think you're right. A lot of NPEs do have a lot of anger towards their parents. And I'm sure the fact that she told you when you were 13 helped, but I still think that you show a lot of compassion to her.
Well, I can't say I've always done that. I think a lot of times I, you know, thought the worst of everything she did, but I think she, you know, she made the choice that was best for her. And I think it turned out okay. You know, maybe it wasn't the best thing that could have happened ever, but I think, you know, overall she had to do what was right for her. And I think it was okay. It really makes me sad when parents, particularly, I mean, I guess it's usually dads, find out that they have a kid that they didn't know about for whatever reason and totally shut them out. And especially, and the wives that they have, that they're afraid to tell the truth to, particularly, I mean, maybe only if the child was born before that couple was married. You know, I understand if a husband cheated on his wife and created a child, then he wouldn't want to discuss it. But for husbands that are afraid to tell their wives when a child was born before they were married, and a woman who wouldn't be accepting of that, like the man didn't have a life before her or whatever, that kind of boggles my mind, really. And I feel like there's so many stories about people trying to find their biological dad and can't have a relationship with him. And it just is really, it's really awful. I feel really, really bad for those folks that can't have a relationship and the men that are afraid to tell their wives.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just really sad for those people.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question, which is, what advice would you give someone who just discovered that they are an NPE or had a DNA surprise?
I don't know about advice. I think, you know, I think it's important to try to reach out to them. I think that from most people who do it, they seem to, you know, say, I just want to, you know, I'm interested in a relationship. If you're not, that's fine. I'd like my medical, you know, history, my family history. I'm not trying to get your money. I mean, all of that stuff is the pretty typical things. I think, you know, I'm an extrovert and I like making connections with people. And sometimes I wonder if it's because I felt disconnected my whole life from my relatives or people who thought they were my relatives. Yeah, I just really like making connections with people about anything, you know, any stupid little thing. And I find people to make connections with, I think, because I like feeling included in something bigger than myself. And I think that a lot of people want to feel a connection and they feel like they're going to get it from people who are biologically related to them. And my wish would be that people would be a little more open-minded to thinking a surprise could be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, you know? I feel like the world is a better place when people make connections. And so I think people should just do that, get to know one another, assume positive intent, and make a connection.
I think that's great advice. Well, Summer, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your journey. I wish you the best of luck in continuing to connect with your half-siblings, your newfound family, and just the best of luck on the rest of your journey. Thank you.
Thank you so much for including me.
Thank you, Summer, for sharing your story. If you have a DNA surprise story, please email dnasurprises@gmail.com. And if you haven't yet, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until next time.